The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while, he refused. But later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today we've got a couple great biblical accounts of struggling in prayer. And I just want to highlight them a little bit to give us a context and to give us a sense for the richness of relationship that God calls us to, invites us into. First of all, we have this Jacob story. Now, if you don't read any other Old Testament book, read Genesis. Because I think all of our faith formation, foundational ancestry, and all of the foundations for future stories in the Bible, future encounters with God, they all start in Genesis. So we have this story today that's just a little snapshot in time of Jacob wrestling with the angel or with God. And this is just a little piece of the story. If you go back further, think about the character that Jacob is. Jacob, in this portion of the story, is going home. Going home. Why? Well, we have to back up a little bit further. Quite a bit further. You see, Jacob is Father Abraham's grandson. Abraham and Sarah's grandson, Jacob. So Jacob is the child of the promise. But he doesn't come by it honestly. Jacob stole his brother's birthright for a bowl of stew. Jacob stole his father's dying blessing by masquerading as his brother. Jacob sort of runs off with his uncle and father-in-law, they're the same. Runs off with the daughters and a whole lot of sheep when he leaves the land. So Laban's not happy with him. His brother Esau hates him. But God is calling him to go home. So Jacob has amassed a pretty good fortune for himself, but he's heading back home. He's not just going home by himself. He's going home with all of his flocks, which are not just sheep now, but he's got sheep and goats and cattle and camels. Read chapter 32 in Genesis. It's a great story. And it's not just livestock, but he's got two wives, and they're two handmaids, And right now he's traveling with 11 children that he's had with those four women. This is in the Bible, friends. Jacob is not your typical upright citizen. And he's scared to death right now. He's scared to death because he's heard reports that Esau is coming to meet him. The brother that he cheated out of so much is coming to meet him. And so he sends servants ahead of him. And he divvies up convoys of flocks of his animals. Abundance. And he sends them on ahead. He says, if you meet up with my brother Esau, tell them this is a thankful gift, that I'm coming on good terms. And he's scared. He's really scared. He's sending these things off ahead of him. Like, I can give him everything. I'm hoping he's not going to kill me. And then he sends his wives and his children off ahead of him. They cross the river. And so now it's just Jacob. On the other side of the river from his promised land. He's all alone. That's where this morning's Old Testament text starts. Jacob is alone. He's going home. And he's scared to death. There is no place in this reading that says Jacob asked, on top of all of that, to stay up all night in a wrestling match with God. He didn't ask for that. But that's what he gets. And he does. Stay up all night wrestling with God who comes to him. And at the end of that wrestling match, when day breaks, and they're at a stalemate. The word prevail isn't quite what it... They're at a stalemate, but the angel has to leave because it's morning. And Jacob asks, what's your name? And Jacob is never told. But what he is told is, you don't need to know my name. What you need to know is I'm giving you a new name. And your new name is Israel. For you have struggled with God. You've seen God face to face and you've lived. You're going to walk with a limp for a long time now. But you've struggled with God. You've seen God face to face and you've lived. Jump ahead to the gospel, where we have this persistent widow. And Jesus sets up this parable by saying, he's telling this parable to the disciples about their need to pray always and not lose heart. That's the need that he's establishing before he sets out this parable. The need to pray always and not lose heart. And he talks about this persistent widow. And what is the widow looking for? Justice. She's not asking for earthly things. She's not asking for honor or gifts or anything. She's asking for justice. We don't know what the situation is. He's not going to lay that out in the parable. She wants justice. And she's approaching a judge who neither fears God nor respects people. Now, our confirmation students are studying the Ten Commandments now. And that sentence, neither fears God nor respects people, is basically saying he doesn't give a rip about God or the commandments. Moses came down the hill with those two tablets. Right, Aaron? One tablet says, honor God, only God. And the other tablet is talking about relationships with other people. And Jesus boiled it down to love God, love neighbor. And this judge doesn't care about either. So she's going and approaching and crying out for justice to the one person she knows has no interest in it. And in the end, he bends, he gives in. But further to the end, Jesus closes out the parable and says, "And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them." God is a God of justice. God hears cries. So what do we have in these two stories, this Genesis and this gospel? We have God who comes to us. Sometimes, whether we want God to come to us or not, God comes to us, enters into our fears and our struggles, and struggles with us, and transforms us. That's one of the things prayer does, is transforms us. But in the gospel story, we also hear that we can affect God's willingness to enter into a situation. Prayer is that powerful. And certainly in matters of justice, God hears our cries, enters our struggles, promises to hear and respond. Prayer changes us because we belong to God and our names have been changed. In baptism, we have been made new. And each time we approach God is the potential for transforming us into something even more new, closer to God. Prayer is always a powerful, dynamic encounter with a living God. You know, I don't know how many of you, when you were little children, were taught to sit down and say your prayers. And I think sometimes we got the impression that it was just about us saying our prayers, and it wasn't about having a relationship with a dynamic God who wants to be involved in our lives, who wants to make things new, who wants to present justice. Practice expectation. Two words to keep in mind as you pray. Practice expectation. Remember that you are praying to and struggling with and encountering a living God who already knows all of our problems but wants to hear from us anyway, who already knows all of our joys and wants to hear us say thank you. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, whatever it is you're seeking justice for, God listens, God hears, God responds. So whether your struggle is with a going home or an encounter that you're dreading, like Jacob was, invite God into that experience with you. Or maybe your struggle is with an illness or a relationship. Invite God in. God's ready to struggle with you. And if you're sensing God might be calling you to do something, to act for justice, or to serve your neighbor, invite God in to explain more fully. God is dynamic. And the God who called you by name and made you new in baptism, the God who says you belong here, is a God who listens. A God who is eternally powerful and infinitely intimate, loves you. May the peace of Christ that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in the one who loves you so, the one who wants to enter into your struggles, hear your joys, and walk with you, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.